Welcome to the Bureau Briefing, a podcast by the Bureau of Digital, an organization devoted to giving digital professionals the support system they never had. Each episode, we're going to talk to a member of our community doing awesome, inspiring things. Now for your host, Carl Smith.
Hey, everybody, and welcome back to the Bureau Briefing. It is Carl, and with me today, I have got Mr. Brett Harned, the founder of the Digital PM Summit and a digital PM consultant everybody looks up to. Brett, how's it going?
Hey, Carl, I'm doing well. Thanks for having me on.
Well, you know, we talk each day, and sometimes the coolest stories are right in front of you, and you just don't realize it. I was actually talking to somebody when I was in Austin just a couple of days ago, and they were talking about the Digital PM Summit and what an amazing story it was that it kind of launched a community. And I was like, well, yeah, maybe that would be a good topic for the show, the start of a whole community in our industry. So, Brett, if you don't mind, take us back to 2013 and that time period where you had the idea for the Digital PM Summit.
Yeah. So way back then, I was working with Greg Hoy and Greg Story at HappyCog. Great company, a place where, you know, learning is very important to employees. And I'd been going to a lot of events, you know, I'd do amazing events like An Event Apart and Future Insights and South by Southwest. And I always came away from those events a little inspired, but felt like something was lacking for me specifically as a project manager. It gave me the inspiration to start writing and talking about what I do, because I felt like there wasn't much out there. So I started to do that a little bit, and then I started to gain a little traction, and I was actually a little surprised that people were interested in hearing about digital project management and how people get projects done. So that led to a little bit of community building locally, working with some local meetup groups to try to pull together a DPM community in Philly. Started to gain a little bit of traction with that, and then started to do some talks at conferences, more writing. And eventually I went out for a beer with Greg Hoy, and I said, I don't even remember what we were talking about, but I remember saying to him, I think there's something here. I think that there's a community out there, and I would love to be able to reach these people. And I'm sure that they would love to be able to reach each other and just have a support network. And I said, what if we did a conference? And this was after Greg had started doing the camps. So the idea of conferences wasn't far out of reach for us at HappyCog. So he said, sure, let's do it. And I was kind of shocked because at what point in anyone's career in a job does your boss say, sure, let's make this major investment in something that could be a complete flop. So I was really excited. And, you know, I ended up taking a lot of my spare time to create this conference and organize it and find speakers. And you know what? The first one, we sold out in 30 days. And it was amazing. And I couldn't believe it. And we had a wait list of over 200 people. So I thought at that point, wow, the idea is actually a real thing. You know, like there are people out there who are interested in this, and I can't wait to do it. You know, fast forward, 3 years later, we're going on our fourth event, and I'm still excited about it.
Well, I have to say, I was at the first one, and I was there as a speaker. I'd been to the camps, I'd done some other things, and it felt like a family reunion for a family that had never met. I mean, people were talking and other people were understanding what they were saying. And you just got this sense that they had never had that before, that they would try to have these conversations about the challenges and the approaches they took to solve them. And people would just look at them funny. And now they were with a group of people who got it. So this really was the beginning of the digital PM community. There had been a lot of communities for project managers in other industries, but it's such a different flavor. So how many people did you meet for the first time at the summit, the first summit?
The first summit? So we only had 150 people. So it was small. You know, it felt like a little community kind of gathering. And I got the opportunity to meet a lot of those people. I mean, the unfortunate thing for me about the Digital PM Summit is that I don't get to experience it as an attendee. So I'm running around like crazy the entire time. And I wish that I had more time just to like sit down and talk to people. But you know, it was exciting still to meet speakers who were interested in the topic, talk to some attendees. And I would say that, you know, I have a pretty tight group of friends that are digital project managers who I talk to on a really regular basis now. And a good number of them were at the first event.
And that's what happens, right? The relationships get formed and those circles get formed. And now you've got that support network. And that's a huge part of the Bureau overall.
Yeah.
Is helping people. Yeah. Helping people find that support network. And just, I'm just so glad that you were paying attention and realized that people cared because now there are local meetups all over the country. You and I have had calls with some of the people organizing them. And I mean, how many local meetups do you think there are right now that we know about anyway?
The local meetups, I mean, I would say that there are 10 to 20 of them, but they're worldwide now too. That's the other amazing thing is, you know, they're in Europe, they're in the US, they're in Canada. I mean, I would love to hear about where else they are. And I'm always like stunned when I get an email from someone from another country who has heard about what we're doing and wants to be a part of it and wants us to bring our event to them.
Yeah.
You know, obviously it's not something we can do now, but long term, wouldn't that be cool?
Yeah, no, it would be. And again, just amazing to see like where something originates and then spreads out. And now it's got a life of its own all over the place. You were mentioning earlier that you started speaking, you started writing, and I know that you work with Team Gantt and wrote the Guide to Project Management. And I didn't realize this until earlier today that over 60,000 people have read that.
Yeah, it's amazing, isn't it?
It's out of control. It shows that people are looking for guidance.
Right.
And so I was also excited to find out that you're now writing a book. So talk about that.
Yes, I am. So I'm writing a book tentatively titled Project Management for Humans. And I'm writing it for, it actually goes back to my very first talk at South by Southwest. That was the title of it. I always felt the reason I picked that title is because I always felt like people thought PMs were very robotic, right? Like everything is about budgets and timelines and very rigid things. And that's not my approach at all. And I don't think that's the approach a lot of PMs in the digital space take. I think people are actually more tuned into the soft skills side of things and communications and making sure that teams are cared for and happy, rather than just saying, hey, are you on budget? You know, like, where are you with your hours and that kind of stuff? That's kind of where the title came from. I'm writing the book with Rosenfeld Media. I have one chapter left on this day, July 13th, 2016. And I cannot wait to get it done. I saved the most difficult chapter for last, and I'm working through it. It's been really awesome to devote myself to this. I mean, writing the guide for Team Gantt was also a really big task for me. I mean, I think that was 8 or 9 chapters, and writing that I think allowed me to kind of get into the book. In some ways it gave me the confidence to know I could do it. It made me feel like I could write content that people would be interested in or would help them. I'm excited to get that done. We've just started talking about the reviews that the book needs to go through. I got an email last night from Lou Rosenfeld about the book cover design. So it's exciting. I mean, I'm getting to a point where a lot of the really hard work is out of the way and I get to kind of watch it become a real thing.
I have to tell you, I have so much respect for you, not only saying that you would write a book, but from what I can tell working with you, I've never seen you have it impact anything else. You're probably the project manager, right? So you've figured out how to get it done. And from what I can tell, you've stayed on schedule with the book. So the process, I've had friends that have written them. I've had offers. I don't know how serious they were, but I was always terrified. I couldn't pull it off. So how did you go about structuring your day or your week so that you could focus on the book and manage all your other responsibilities?
Yeah. So, huge thanks to my wife, who is understanding and wants me to do this thing. You know, like she gets it, right? She understands that it's not easy to write. I can't do this and then hop on a call with a client and then have four other meetings and then just start writing a book. Like, it just doesn't work. Like, I need space and time. So I've been taking a lot of weekend days where Emily and the girls will go out for a few hours and do their thing and just give me the space and time that I need to write. And when they come home, I'm so energized because I've gotten all of this work done and I feel like, you know, I've done something good. So I'm doing that. And then on top of that, there are a lot of I have to project manage myself in some ways, right? Because I have to meet the deadlines. I have to have meetings with my editor, who is amazing and very supportive and has been great. But that's the only stuff that's taking place during the workday. Because obviously I need to respect her schedule. Everything else is nights and weekends. Getting it done.
Well, congrats on having the one chapter left. So what is the most difficult chapter? What was the chapter you waited on?
So I waited on a chapter that is called Principles Over Process, and it actually is kind of mirroring what I'm going to speak about at the Digital PM Summit. And it's really kind of this around this idea where I'm gonna present, you know, this is process. These are the types of methodologies that you can use. But really, when it comes down to it, as a digital project manager, what's more important are the principles for how you operate as a DPM. And this really came out of this idea that we have no standards for what we do. So if you think about, obviously the easy example here is Jeffrey Zeldman and coding, right? Like, and browser. Like, if there's no standards there, then there's no way of kind of knowing what's right and what's wrong. And we don't have that for project management in any way. There are all these methodologies, there are processes that people use. But I think, and that's fine. I'm not saying that you shouldn't use different methodologies. But what I want to do is tie it back to some standards for the role. And I would love to see those standards be adopted by companies who are employing digital project managers, to say, like, these are the things that we think that you should do. And maybe the principle is something high level about the way that you communicate as a person. You know, like, we are open communicators, we're honest. Something really simple like that can kind of allow the flexibility to use whatever process you want. But if you bring it back to a principle, it's kind of like, you know, somebody's doing the right thing. Does that make sense?
That makes so much sense. And it's one of the things that resonates with me, because when Engine was in full swing, one of the things we would always talk about is people over process, mm-hmm. right? So principles over process feels exactly the same, maybe even more targeted. Mm-hmm. In the sense that it's about the way you work as well as the individuals you work with, because we actually got to a point of process where we would lose some projects because right. the prospects would look at it and say, well, we're worried you're too process centric and that we're going to get on a conveyor belt and, you know, we're not going to be able to, right. to have any flexibility, when the reality was we saw process as something that was flexible based on the project. You know, to make sure that you got to the end as fast and as effectively as possible. So when you're talking about this with principles over process, it actually reminds me of Jessie Hall, who we worked with at Engine. And she was one of the best project managers I ever worked with. The reason was people cared about her and they didn't want to let her down, right? It wasn't anything of telling people this has to be done by now. She right. was always the person who was saying, how can I help you get this done? You know, so little things like that. And I'm not sure that's exactly where you're going with the talk, but that's why it resonated with me. Because to your point, people think that it's a robotic, strict, you know, if A, then B kind of a role, when the reality is it's the glue
Exactly. Yes. Yeah. It's about adapting to the people you're working with in some ways as a PM, but also walking the line between being the friend and the manager. And, you know, walking the line between being friendly and analytical, you know, caring for the business as well as the people, you know, that as an owner yourself. And it's not easy, but I think, you know, with some simple guideposts for the community, I think we can get people aligned. And I think it would help to elevate the role a little bit. I've been seeing, I think I mentioned this to you last week, I've been seeing articles here and there that are about, you know, overcoming bias against project management. And to me, that sucks, you know, like,
right.
There's nobody on a team who's better than anyone else. PMs are the people who are there to help get things done. Maybe some people don't do it the best way. But I think, again, if we were to bring it back and set some kind of standards, it might help the role. So that's what I'm hoping to do. And I'm going to be doing that through the book. So that there's a chapter in the book and then the talk. And I gave a talk earlier this year at DPM UK in Manchester that was kind of the beginnings of this idea. And I presented a set of principles and asked the audience to provide their input as well. And I got some really good feedback and input on that. So I'm working that into it as well.
So you're preaching to the choir. I was not a digital project manager. Actually, I guess I was in the early days when there was nobody else to do it. But to me, that role is the role of a conductor in a symphony. Mm-hmm. You have all these people who are amazing at what they do, but if it doesn't come together, you just have a lot of noise.
Yep.
Right? So I can't wait to see the talk, and I'm definitely eager to read the book as well when it comes out.
Thanks.
So we've got the Digital PM Summit.
Yes.
You know, 2016 edition in San Antonio, and that's October 12th through 14th. And then there's the optional workshop on the 15th.
Correct.
So how do you keep it fresh every year? You know, there's a lot of events that you go to, and it feels like it's the same speakers being recycled, the same information. I know I was one of those recycled speakers for many years at certain events. So what do you do, Brett, when you're basically curating the event, how do you make sure that it's going to be fresh for the people who are coming back?
Yeah, well, the first thing is that we always do a follow-up survey, right, with our attendees to see what they thought about the event, what kinds of content they're looking for. And I think that helps us to get better every year. It also helps us to mix up the agenda. This year specifically, I started to feel like, okay, it's time to really mix it up. We've had a lot of the same speakers over the past few years, myself included. I think I skipped last year. I didn't speak.
Right.
And I'm going to come back this year. It felt like I needed to give everyone a break for some reason.
Everybody was going, man, that Brett Hornady just keeps talking talking.
It's not all about him. but I think a lot of the other speakers are feeling the same way. It's like, let's take a break. And honestly, the reason that I'd ask people back a lot is because there's a lack of, you know, speakers and, you know, people who that we knew could get on stage and not only inform, but also keep people engaged and entertained in some way.
Right.
So this year we did our call for papers. We got a lot of great submissions. I think we got over 45 to 50. Last year we got 60. And it's really tough to pick from that large pool. But you know, we got some new topics. We've got some new presenters. I think it's going to be good. I think we're also tweaking our agenda a little bit this year. So we're giving more space and time to the breakout sessions. So they're going to be longer and there'll be fewer of them. We've also, we're bringing the camp sessions back to the breakouts, which I think are a great addition to the agenda. People, you know, what I found is people really just want to talk. They want to hear from each other. They want to share ideas. They don't necessarily want to be sitting in front of a keynote presentation for, you know, two full days, which I totally get. We're also going to do something this year with one of our breakout sessions where I kind of just tease at it a little bit, since we're going to do breakout sessions that are a little more free form and they're going to be based on geography so that we can start to push the meetup communities a little bit more, which I'm really excited about. So yeah, I think, you know, it's just a matter of listening to the audience, finding the right mix of content and speakers with that content, and then just tweaking the agenda to make it feel like it's new and fresh, because it is, really.
Well, and I think one of the tricky parts is making sure it's new and fresh for your repeat attendees.
Yeah.
But also making sure it's still got the same relevant content for your first time attendees.
Right.
And that to me is kind of the balancing act of trying to figure it out. And I have to second, I am excited to see how the breakout around geography works, because one of the things we talked about when we were talking about the very first one was you found your tight knit circle, mm-hmm. right? And a lot of people may not have a clue. And when you've got over 300 people in a location, to give them a little bit of a hint as to who is in their area.
Yeah.
You know, that's really, really valuable.
Absolutely. And I see that happen with the workshops too. It's really cool. I mean, the last workshop I did was in Raleigh, and there were people there who knew each other. There were people from out of town, far away. But then there were these people who had just met each other and had no idea they were there, and they wanted to form a meetup group, which to me is like, that's what we need to do. So the workshops are great for that. And the next one is in Portland, September 24th. I'm excited for that one.
Well, Brett, thank you for being on the show today. And I know I've said it to you personally, but just to say it to everybody, Brett Harned does an amazing amount of work, not only in the digital PM community, but also for the Bureau with the camps and everything else that we do. So Brett, from everybody that's working at the Bureau and everybody that's attended the events, thank you so much for everything that you do.
Thank you. I appreciate that.
And everybody else, we will talk to you next week. Have a good one.